Susan Sontag once said, "A writer, I think, is someone who pays attention to the world." Writing can come from just being out in the world and observing life around you. Today in the studio, I have artist, musician, and poet Nelson Albuquerque. He writes free verse poetry, and some of the themes in his writing include history and politics and writing through observation. He's been involved in his art for about 12 years and studied creative writing in college, and his work has been featured in a few publications such as Coiled Serpent, Dry Land, and Angel City Review, and he plans on continuing to have his work published. Nelson, I want to thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I kind of want to just start off by asking you, what inspires you to write? What inspires you to write your poetry?
The world around me. You know, I've been, I grew up in Washington, D.C., and I've done a lot of traveling in my adult years, and kind of always interested in a person's story and the story of the environment around me. So what inspires me is just life, you know, seeing life as it evolves and carries people, you know, current events, that too.
Cool. What kind of stuff do you write about? What are some, like, maybe typical themes, or what are some of the things that you write about in your poetry that you focus on?
When I look back on it, because I don't sit down and plan what I'm going to write about. So it just kind of happens. Mm-hmm. But when I look back on it, I see a lot of, as I say, narratives, stories that may be forgotten, like indigenous struggle, that nature. And I do very few, like, my life kind of poems. I don't really do so much of that. I'm just always interested in what other people's lives are. So.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned also that you travel a lot. How does your travel inspire you?
It's really gaining a new perspective. I've been traveling. I've been around a lot of the country at this point, but I've also been outside the country a lot. I've been able to go to Europe, the Middle East, and what really has inspired me over the last few years our trips into Central and South America. So I was born in Santiago, Chile, and I was adopted when I was like 2 years old and lived in Washington, D.C., grew up there. Mm-hmm. And just kind of seeing the world that I was, you know, kind of came from, and seeing how life is different in a lot of ways, in a lot of respects, has really inspired me to, you know, put that into art.
Mm-hmm. So. Do you feel like experiences like your upbringing and your past, do you feel like you look for those kinds of stories to tell, or do you think you kind of stray away from that?
I look for the stories that I tell are the stories that I see in the people. I don't really, like I say, I don't really write too many, this is my life, this is what I go through. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do, and that's great and wonderful. I'm just so interested in what other people's lives are. Mm-hmm. And some of them I don't think get a lot of light, you know, in mainstream media. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing that I like to talk about in the poems that I find, you know, when I look back.
Yeah.
So.
Is there a place that you've traveled to where you feel like had a really big impact on you, and maybe a story that you ended up writing? Is there a place that you really resonated with?
Oh, there's too many places. I went to Machu Picchu in Peru, and that was one of the most inspiring places I've ever been to. And it's not just because of, like, oh, this is like a, you know, a world treasure, but it was kind of the journey of getting there. We took a train, we walked, you know, climbing. So Machu Picchu is kind of the site, and it's kind of in the clouds. But behind that is the mountain, Huayna Picchu. Mm-hmm. And that, only a few hundred people climb every day. And my group was one of the climbers. And it's just so breathtaking, because it belonged to the Inca, you know. Mm-hmm. And every step, it's like stepping through history. Mm. And so coming back, you know, just writing about those forgotten people, in a lot of ways are forgotten, and how so many other indigenous people are also kind of washed, almost washed away.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of want to like tell their story.
Yeah, very much so. We, in general, in the United States, of course, Native Americans have been oppressed mm-hmm. from the government since, you know, 1492. But it's also happened throughout the continent. And to be indigenous mm-hmm. is to be, unfortunately, looked down upon in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. And it's not right. And so, like, what I'm trying to do is remind people that these are human beings, mm-hmm. like, from the past, and they deserve honor mm-hmm. and respect.
Yeah. So you just want to bring their stories to life and, mm-hmm. and show people that it really matters. Yeah,
that's one aspect of my poetry.
Nice. Do you feel like you've ever, like, lost inspiration along the way and you just can't seem to find a story that you connect with? Have you ever had a moment like that?
Well, that's kind of... So when I first started getting into poetry, it was in high school. Mm-hmm. And I took a poetry class, and there was only, like, 5 students who were interested, and I was one of them. Mm-hmm. And we had to make 10 poems for the trimester. And I made, like, 80. And it just happened. I mean, like, just happened. But then I did go through, like, a drought where I didn't write anything for maybe a year or so. In my adult years, it's kind of happened sporadically where I won't write for a while and then I will. So it's not that I'm uninspired. It's just that the seed doesn't bloom. Mm-hmm. You know, I write when a seed blooms, and only the seed knows that. Yeah. So...
Have you faced any types of struggles through your journey of writing poetry?
I don't really think so. I think maybe, like, when I was younger, I thought that I could make it into, like, a job. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, I just make money writing poems. No, not exactly. Mm-hmm. You can publish, and that's great, and I encourage everyone to do that, to follow that route. But, you know, like, poetry is something that is more than... What I've learned is more than just trying to aspire for a job. It's really, for a lot of people, it's therapeutic. For other people, it's kind of just rounding out philosophy. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like the power of poetry.
Yeah. So you had mentioned that you do have a few of your stuff published on, like, different places. So yeah. Do you ever get nervous about having your stuff published out there for the world? And
no. Yeah. No, I don't. You know, it's up to the reader to either digest it or not, and whatever people want to take from it, great. Mm-hmm. You know,
do you think you've ever been have you ever had negative reactions from your poetry from people, or
no, not that I can think of. I don't think anyone was like, that was a bad poem.
Yeah,
why did you read that? Mm-hmm.
that's good. I also know that you are a musician as well. Do you think that being a musician has influenced your poetry, or your poetry has influenced your music?
Well, I think the music that I do is instrumental music. And I think that it is the poetry. You know, I think that they're the same entity in a lot of ways. Just one is one side of the coin and the other is the other, you know? Mm-hmm. So I do, music is poetry and poetry is music. Mm-hmm. I like to tell people that.
Nice, that's cool. Yeah. So you feel really connected to...
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel more connected to your music than you do your poetry? Or no?
Well, I mean, it's a little bit different because you playing an instrument with an amplifier, mm-hmm. yeah. you feel the vibration in the room. Mm-hmm. Poetry, though, you still feel something. It's in your heart. Mm-hmm. It's the root of your existence in a lot of ways. So... Some physically, I mean, it's a little bit different, but I think the spirit is the same.
Mm-hmm. Okay, nice. What do you hope to accomplish when you do have your stuff published? Like, why do you have your stuff published?
Why? You know, there is no good, for me, there's really no good answer as to why I have it published or why I want to publish. I suppose one is, I guess the most vain reason would be like to have some memory of me, mm-hmm. you know, or my thoughts or something. Mm-hmm. But I just think that maybe people can either benefit or learn something or just have another perspective mm-hmm. by reading it. So getting it out there helps to kind of like add to the palette that is, you know, our history and our poetry and our collective consciousness.
Mm-hmm. You also went to college, you said in Santa Fe, and you studied creative writing. What kind of got you to, because you're also passionate about music and playing music, so what drove you to study creative writing specifically?
It really was that poetry class that I took in high school. I was a senior. Mm-hmm. I was a senior in high school, and poetry wasn't really something that was on the forefront of my mind at the time, but I had such a great teacher who, like, we read Ginsberg, we read William Carlos Williams, a lot of beat people, and that just, like, inspired me so much to the point where, you know, I said, like, I churned out way more than 10 poems mm-hmm. at the end of the trimester, and, like, when you do something like that, you realize, whoa, this is more than just, like, I'm not just doing this to get a grade. I'm doing this because I actually, like, excel at it and I enjoy it. And so that's what pushed me to really do creative writing for poetry. I had been a creative writer, a creative mind before, but the poetry thing was just, like, really sold it to me. Like, this is what I should do.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And then what was your experience like in college when you were studying? Were there any moments that stood out to you then where you're just like, yeah, this was the right decision for me?
Well, it was a complicated situation because I studied creative writing in Santa Fe, but then I also had to switch colleges, and I continued with creative writing wherever I went. So for the most part, it just really was just like me, yeah, this is who I am and what I do. Mm-hmm. So
nice. Has anyone specifically ever inspired you to write poetry, or do you just kind of draw that inspiration from yourself?
Who inspired me? A lot of dead people inspired me, you know, dead writers. Mm-hmm. Like I said, Ginsberg was a huge inspiration. Mm-hmm. You know, it for me, poetry, okay, so poetry was hard for me to get into for a long time because I thought there's a very specific thing you have to learn, which is like formula, and it's true there are formulas for certain forms of poems, mm-hmm. but the hard part I had was reading a poem. Actually, I was like, how do you read this? How do you read like this? I don't know how to read this. It's just, and it wasn't until I heard like Ginsberg and William Carlos Williams read, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, because it really is much more easier than I thought. I don't know. I just thought it was like this mountain that I would never understand how to read a poem. What I didn't realize is that you just read it. Mm-hmm. You just read it. Read it like you're talking. And that's how you get into it. And so I really do enjoy poetry more so aesthetically when I hear it than just like reading words off a page. Mm-hmm.
What was it about listening to them read their poems that kind of changed your mind about it?
It was just, you know, the voice is unique. Your voice is unique, my voice. That's as close as it gets to the author, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, especially if they're deceased, that's the closest you're ever going to get to being with the author, mm-hmm. is hearing their voice. And when you hear their voice, people read in certain ways, and it paints a picture of how they maybe have lived their life. Like when William Carlos Williams reads, he's mostly seems very happy, like very like optimistic about things. I mean, there's a part of his life where he wasn't, but his early stuff, you could really feel the sunshine in his voice. And that's something that I don't think necessarily would come across the page all the time. So,
mm-hmm. So did you happen to bring something that you wanted to read since we're talking about reading?
Yeah, I have some things.
Awesome. Okay. So if you want to tell us about it or just jump right in it, it's up to you.
Start with like an upbeat thing.
All right.
This is called The Tree. The tree. Who can say how or why, but imagine its green leaves as evidence, transcending dimensions, weaving lucidities, generations on journey, braiding cosmos, universes curving, imperfect and learning, destined to ascend beyond continuum.
Nice. It really definitely paints a picture. I saw it in my head.
Yeah, I even drew a picture of a tree.
Yeah. So do you remember when you wrote that?
Do I? Well, I don't have it in front of me, but with every poem I do date it.
Okay.
So I think it was from maybe a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I was just in a really good mood. Mm-hmm. Really good mood and thinking about, you know, what is life? You know, the very cliche thing to think about. What is life? What's the meaning? but yeah, you know, I was just in this wonder of the tree. You know, it just boggles my mind that it comes from a seed so small and becomes something so large. And that just like, I don't know, it causes a lot of magic in me. And I'm like, whoa. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Is that why you think you're maybe so interested in people's stories, like starting from something so small and then just growing into something big?
Yeah, we're all part of something. Mm-hmm. Where does it come from? That's kind of like in the poem I'm trying to figure out, where does it come from? And it just seems to go on forever. And but the other thing about nature is that sometimes I feel like it is imperfect, like it's because evolution, everything is evolving, continuously evolving, so everything is continuously imperfect, and that's such an interesting concept to me.
Did you want to read one more?
Sure.
All right.
Let's see. I have these papers here that I printed out like a good student. All right. It's more of an observation poem. It's called Fury. A rich fire looms solemn in the smiling man's sky, smearing gruesome bark carcass paints across the earth heaven night. Smoke poem paints brown smudge bruises in cruel view sight, as red hot blood broil embers smother the lawn outside. Suffering from something, suffering for the life. A simple man smiles on his iPhone, turned to the whole hills burning, with the whole wide earth burning alive. If this is an angry God, it is hurting. If this is an angry God, this fire is just one lick of its furious, righteous swipe.
Nice. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
So what was inspiration from that? What does that one mean to you?
A few years ago, we might remember the La Tuna fire. Mm-hmm. I certainly did, as it really painted, you know, the sky above Sylmar. And I was driving around. I like to drive because I like to see things. And
which would explain traveling and all that stuff, yeah.
I like to investigate, too. And as I was driving around, I wanted to get closer and closer to the fire, which might concern my parents, but don't worry, I'm safe. Everything is fine. But I did find it strange to see this man with his iPhone kind of like, and you can't see it because it's a radio program, but holding his arm out, you know, taking a selfie and all that. I'm like, whoa. To me, that's so bizarre. Like, this, the earth is burning and you're smiling because you're part of the earth burning. And so that is like a weird image, and I'm trying to think of also poetically like what the fire could be. And to me, it just felt like an angry God, you know, like, you know, and that, you know, this person was smiling, and what it felt like was that there's way more of this to come, this kind of fire thing. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what the poem was, I guess, talking about. Mm-hmm. That experience.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
So your style is more free verse. What is it about free verse that attracted you?
It's the free part. it's so liberating. I don't know. It's very conversational to me. It's very straightforward in a way. Just like it's easy to talk to, easy to say. I prefer that. I tend to rhyme, I found, but I like the idea that I don't have to rhyme. Mm. You know, I can just say whatever and present it in a certain way, and you know, that's the poem.
Mm. Do you feel like you do that for you, or do you feel like you do that more for yourself or more for your audience, or both?
I guess I do that more for myself because I'm just more comfortable like that. But you know, like, maybe some of the audience was like me at one point and thought poetry could only be a certain way, and then when they hear that, they're like, oh, it doesn't have to be that certain way.
You don't have to be restricted by having to rhyme and all that kind of
right,
stuff.
Or you can meter really do... or certain yeah. rules, you mm-hmm. know.
How was your process of writing different to how you maybe approach writing music?
It's about the same.
Is it?
Yeah, it just happens.
Mm-hmm. It's about the soul and just expressing
it's that. Just the seed that blooms out of nowhere, mm-hmm. seemingly out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Was there any like mentor for you that you had that was there a mentor in that poetry class that you took in high school, or did you just kind of take that wave and ride it on your own, or was there really somebody that kind of stuck by you and pushed you?
Well, I mean, I think a bunch of people pushed me or like supported me, mm-hmm. like my parents, my friends who saw I was writing, but I would say there's no one mentor. Like I say, like I get a lot of my inspiration from the past, from the voices that have already come and gone. So the spirit of those people, mm-hmm. that's kind of like the mentor collage.
Nice. So. And are there any poets? I know you mentioned like Ginsberg, and is that your favorite poet, or do you have a favorite poet that?
Those two are pretty up there, I'd yeah. say. Like, you know, I really appreciate Ginsberg quite a bit because it's not just writing poems, but I also like learning about who these people were and like what, you know, like I watch interviews all the time. Like, I think that's so cool to just like, what were you thinking? Oh, okay. So I just think like their life story is kind of like such an inspiration to me, even if they made mistakes, even because not all people are perfect. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would say that.
Nice. And is one of your goals with your writing to turn that into a career, or are you really just kind of trying to do that for you and just to connect with people and tell a story, or do you really want to make this a career thing?
I would like to make it financially viable and sustainable, and then something that gives a lot of, you know, gives back quite a bit. I don't like thinking in terms of writing music or poetry as a job, so that's why I shy away from saying I want it to be my career. I don't really like that word.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that you're on your way for that to be a financially viable option for you with the stuff that you've had published, or do you think that you still have a long way to go?
No, I think I'm on the right track.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, I wish you all the luck in that, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So, again, I just want to thank you for taking your time, coming on the show today. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And if someone wants to read any of your work, how can they find you, or can they find you?
It's what, 2019, they can find me.
Yeah.
I don't know, just follow like my Instagram, I guess. Yeah. I don't at Nyi Nelson, NYI Nelson.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you. Once again, you are listening to Voice of a Generation. I'm your host, Jessica Vaughn, and I want to encourage everyone to share their story. Thank you for tuning into KPCRadio.com, and have a great night.